can have that there. In other words, it is deterministic. That force is completely compelling. And it has to go. As the same way as you know when you plant an orange seed, it must be an orange seed that comes out of it. So it is with this. Now, there's going to be a very good question that's going to be asked soon, so I've prepared you for it already. Ochein ha-metzir sa-matzov ha-seidah v'chol se-ora ha-bchonos v'chelchet hen kipi ma'chus ha-eskohem l'fi ha-mutus ha-zene. He says, whatever happens, he's just taking it from every possible angle. Whatever happens is inherent in that force, in its very source. Va-metzir sa-matzov ha-seidah v'chol se-ora ha-bikrim ba-tefolim mishtaycher ha-netach ma'chus ha-eskohem l'fi ha-mutus ha-zene. And everything that happens down there below, on earth below, has got its source in the heavens above. Whatever it is, if it is a metal, if it is a vegetable, whatever it is, has its source in above. And it's compelling. These things must come. Now comes the big question. So where is the determination of will? That means it applies to a person also. There are these forces, and he is contained by these forces. Says no. If you know that he so is there, the chilas kola avoyet lemalo b'kochas v'arim v'seifem lemato. He says, according to this principle, everything has got its beginning in a source above. And then it comes down by this change of thought to what is there to be found on the earth below. Or not, however. There is one particular case that is an exception to this principle, to this rule. The Ruma Shabbatera is Kira Sa'odam. And that is what appertains to man's predetermination of will. Because since I said it was the divine will that man should have the power to choose to do whatever he wants to do, whether it is good or evil, he may also beauty story with Zulosa. Hashem created man in a way that is not dependent on anything, on anybody, on any force outside of himself in this. So man is the great exception. An animal is good. You can't get a tiger. You can't get a tiger that is a lapdog. Yes, it just doesn't go. That's not, he can't be different. That is the force under which he works. Not so with man. He may also be totally with his brother. Hashem made him completely independent of anything else. The other rabbi, on the contrary, man has the power in the reverse. He can influence that which is above. You see how it works? So it's exactly the opposite of what we have learned. So we will to see Michael Yitzchak said so, to the degree in which he was wishes to do so. So man by his actions is exactly the reverse. He can influence the forces above. And we'll soon see a very interesting result that comes from it all. Now, if you turn to the cover the next page, he says, arising out of this, the Minshu, arising out of this, the Minshu were Olos, Tates, Lewis, Claudius, Hostias. There are two completely different and contrasting influences. One is from above below, And that is what we have been discovering, what we have been discussing. There was one of the ladies, and I'm not sure who it is, after an inkling who it is, who it was, I'm not going to mention the name in case I'm wrong. One of the ladies asked a very pertinent question and said that if we are here able to influence the source of things, then it should work, then it goes back again. Then that influence hits back again at us and influences us, and so it goes on, which is perfectly correct. Now let us see the way he puts it. The Ninki Ba'ulam states the newest glorious of theos. And so there is found in the universe two contrasting influences. Or Achas Tiris Mukrachas Vasheni Sitiris. The one influence is a compelling natural influence, it's deterministic, and the second one is the serious. It's not compelling, it's free, left to the choice of man, indeterministic. Or achos milamato lamato, one from above downwards, vashnio milamato lamato, and the second from below upwards. So man influences, reverse, influences the source. Hamukrachas hiat nua shemis noa hima shapolim meakuchas vayelionim. That which the lower beings, this materialistic world, receives from above, that is compelling, it's deterministic. That is from above below. Habechirius, that's a free form. He, Marshal, Odo Menia Bibachiro says, it is what man influences through his free determination of will. We know Marshal, who Menia, he exercises the elevation in Agassian. And what he is able to influence has to be that which is materialistic, because the man is material and what he does is material. He says, now normally man would only be able to influence the materialistic world. But because of the bond that there exists through his Tauchelus between the spiritual and the materialistic, when he influences the materialistic, it goes right back to his source until it influences the very source itself. And this is the remark that I understood one of the ladies to have made at the last year, which showed me how well this woman understood it. Coming back to our example of Lear, of Shakespeare. Shakespeare wrote King Lear. But something else happened in the life of Shakespeare. He observed things happening with people. And so, what he saw in this materialistic world round about him influenced him. It influenced his thoughts. But his thoughts aren't materialistic. And they influenced his thoughts to such an extent that he was able into in his mind to create a play like Lear, and then afterwards he puts it down in writing and actors take it in action. So you see how it works. It works from below upwards and from upwards down below. And that is what he's saying now. He says, really, man should be able to influence only the materialistic. But since there's such a close bond now between the materialistic and the spiritual, because the materialistic is the effect of the spiritual, can't be otherwise, then it works both ways. Man affects the material and it affects in turn the spiritual, and that in turn comes down and affects man again. And he says that he was those Vilamatu Lamalo, Hefechatis of Ukrachas is Ochadu. And so this influence that is from down below upwards is the opposite of that influence which is the natural one, the compelling one, which is from above down. Now, I'm going to give you the chance to ask a few questions, and that in the discussion it will become clearer. Sina, what is it you would like to ask?
I would like to ask if I may think, isn't it that we are all wanting to express it when we have? In fact, when a child is born, he doesn't have to eat food. He doesn't exercise it. And isn't that then, doesn't start out with the natural force and then you said the force that will be God? I think the way that he has to be influenced is the force of God and then it's a question.
Well, I think you are right in this, that when a child is born, he is not in a state that he's got freedom of choice, and he can't affect anything. It's only as he grows, when he becomes something. And it's possible that he doesn't begin to have an effect until he's 13 or 12, then the effect takes place. But a child as such can't have, he hasn't got predetermination of it. That can't be. Yes?
My observation from very young, so not babies, not very young children, but very young children have a lot of free will. They definitely make choices. They either follow what parents say or they do not, even though they know the consequences.
I think it's the parents that have the free will, not the children.
I don't know. When I was an older child, some children decide to,
if the parent doesn't train the child at all, then he just does anything, does whatever he wants. Don't forget that the test of free will is not to do what you want to do. The test of free will is not to do what you want to do. That is the test.
I understand, but
if a child is able not to do what he wants to do, then he's exercising free will.
Well, what I'm saying, I have seen well brought up children. That's exactly, I'm not talking about not well brought up children. I don't know what goes on, but I can't relate to that. But a well brought up child, very young, frequently makes the decision to do the thing that to exercise the option not to do what he really would like to do.
Or
otherwise, in other words, say the piece of cake and the no one was supposed to have it, and they go look and decide not to have it.
But you don't want him to have the cake because you don't want him to get a tummy ache. He doesn't eat the cake not because he doesn't want to have a tummy ache. He doesn't eat the cake because you told him not to eat the cake and he didn't eat it. That's not the determination of will. You follow?
That's
a compelling force. You are the compelling force. He hasn't got the determination of will. When he decides not to eat the cake, and the cake is there, and it's there for the taking, for the asking, and he decides, no, the determination of will is where I make a decision, not because of a compelling force, but I'm absolutely free. We're going to find out, and I spoke about it as a natural last week. So there are all degrees of free determination of will. It is not the same with every person. For example, with every person it's different. I don't have to exercise any predetermination of will not to put on the television to see a football match. I don't have to exercise any predetermination of will. So my predetermination of will doesn't come into that area at all. That is different for every person. But a child, if a child is well brought up, put his hand out and takes the cake from the table and waits till his mother comes and says, which piece of cake would you like? And he says, that piece. He takes it, puts it in the cake and takes it and goes away. He's well trained. But he doesn't work out why he's got to do it. His mother's told him, well, he knows that that is the way he must go, and that's all that he's doing. But predetermination of will is different from that. And the test is always the ability not to do what that person wants to do. Yes, please. Yes.
Rabbi, we were speaking, I couldn't help but wonder about a young child who has the option of studying, but sees another child or a parent or someone who is in pain or sobbing, or torn, clearly and observably torn between going back to his task and coming and giving the mother or someone a hug.
Yeah.
And besides, it just seems to me that there's a conflict, even in a very young child, to decide. I mean, I saw this in my own child during my father's illness, and he didn't really know his grandfather that well, but somehow.
And what move away is protecting the child in the future most of you. Yes, of course, you see. He hasn't got that. The fear is something higher than that. It's something higher than that. And that is the fear that he's speaking about. But now he's going to go a little bit more deeply into it. And I just... Hannah, yes?
My question was then does every action influence higher whatever it is the source, or is it just actions of first predetermination of who that are influential? That concerns that the way the world is.
It seems every action can do not only every action, but every word and every thought has some effect. But it depends on the person, on the intensity, the degree of the intensity, the depth of it, as to what that effect is. That's what happens. And it works the other way too. It works for evil. That if a man has got an evil thought, he can do immeasurable harm. To do immeasurable harm to the whole world. You know, it's 50 years since the war began, since the great Second World War. And quite a lot is being written now. Some of it is not so good, but there's some very good stuff that has been written. And I'm reading it. So far, I haven't come across anything new. Just one thing, one of the mistakes that Hitler made, which I wasn't aware of, but I haven't come across anything. I lived through all that, and I was very, very interested in everything that was happening. Now, what Hitler did, it wasn't confined only to Germany. Look what he did. It spread during the war right over Europe. Now, I was in England at the beginning of the war. There was anti-Semitism in England as a result of what was taking place in Europe. Just look at the influence. And we used to think that there's a war on, a war against the Germans. Why should there be anti-Semitism? But there was, and in America there was anti-Semitism. And bad anti-Semitism at that particular time. And they wouldn't let Jews into the country. Now they let in anybody, as long as he isn't white, as long as he isn't normal. Doesn't matter, come in. I mean, have you ever heard such a contrast? And there they have such an opportunist it is. They let in the Haitians with the AIDS. They let in the Cubans who'll be dead out of the asylums. They let them all in. And Jews, they wouldn't have such an opportunity. Just look at the level of morality. Those Jews, their intellectual level, their education, wouldn't let them in. Now, look what an influence that has. Just look at the influence. the evil was so deep, it was so calculated, it was so well worked out, that it protects everywhere. But good, it's also got that effect. Must have that effect. You know, in Lithuania, which I got to know intimately, there were what one used to call Edelstedt, that means refined cities, refined towns. The people there, the people were refined. Now, there was a big difference between a Jew and a Goy. A Goy was coarse. There were refined towns. Which were the refined towns? The New, always the Jew, the refined towns. Kovno was a refined town. Slavotka, Kerch, Ponevich, Helen. All the places where there was a lot of terror, where the issue is. Vilkomir. All those places. We used to find out that the goyim in these towns were better than the goyim elsewhere. It all had an effect. I had a meeting, I mentioned it to you, a few months ago with the church people across the road from us. The Good Shepherd is what it is called. Yes. The Good Shepherd. Now, immediately I was in there, they started speaking to me about the way our people, they see it on Shabbos morning. They see them going out of shoes, the way they go dressed, the way they walk all together. It had an effect on them. It has a wonderful effect on them. And they see it. So, unbeknown to us, all these things have an effect. But it is a deed, speech, and thought have its effect. I'll try and explain it to you a little bit in a few minutes' time. Now, I want to do the next paragraph. You ilom sorry sheteda. Now here comes a very important principle. And that is, man has got free determination of will. But not in everything. There are things that he hasn't got a free determination of will. Hashem might want to reward a person for something that he did. And he will lead them into a position that something will come about which is to his benefit, to his advantage, and is his reward. And if a punished person must be punished, he will lead into such a position that he will be punished. And he will suffer as a result of it. So not everything is just, so that is what he's saying. The Ulam Soy Shetele Kitabu Adam Atma Enko Masa Bechirim, man himself, not everything that he does is as a result of free will. Aro Yesh Behem Sheyu Mitzad Bechiro So, there are some of the things that he does is because of free will. The Yesh Achevim Sheyu Silva Blohem Mitzad Gezeire Yehudah Vizkore Leoncho. There are others which come about to him as a result of a divine decree for him to be rewarded or punished. He says, this we shall still explain. The Ulam, he explains it in a later part. The Ulam b'mashehu nimshor acharak zeyre she'olo, yi mishpoter kishe'ori yone he'olom, shetnu osom milamalo lamato, kepi mashehu niyum atokas o'yone. He says, and it can be that he is put into such a position that he is under a direct influence from above, but it's necessary that Hashem uses that influence in order to put him into a certain position. Take the case of Shimshon with which we are dealing on the Shabbos morning share. He gets involved with this woman. He can't help it. He hasn't got the hero. He hasn't got the determination of will there. And the Torah and the Tanakh says that his parents, who were so distressed about it, didn't know that this was from Hashem. So there he is under these influences. He hasn't got, for that particular matter, he hasn't got the determination of will. So it can happen that a person hasn't got determination of will. It can also happen that he's only got a degree of predetermination of will. I have spoken on various occasions about what happened after the war, when there was all this destruction. We found that there were great men who were left alive, very few, but there were those who were left alive. And when one made a careful study of it, one found that each one who was left alive for a particular purpose. In America you had men, the Baron Kotler, the Motor Cubs, the Leon Bluff, the Nation Feinstein. Each one excelled in one particular area. Now they were saved out of Europe. If you spoke to any of these people, and I had the opportunity to speak to several of them, they would tell you how they were saved. It wasn't their own ingenuity. They were put into circumstances that they had to do certain things and they were saved. The point of Israel. The war goes, starts, and Germany moves into Poland on the one side, on the east, on the west, and Russia moves into Poland on the east, and they take the whole of Poland. Jews don't want to be with the Germans, or they know what that means. They don't want to be with the Russians, or because they know what that means. The Germans are going to kill them bodily. The Russians are going to kill them spiritually. So what did they do? They ran away and they ran into Lithuania. For some reason, Lithuania accepted them. They were a small country. Too many Jews. So the government called the Ponovizhenov and the Kozlov and said, we want you to go to America and negotiate that America takes so many thousands of Jews and tens of thousands of Jews of every people so as to relieve the pressure there, otherwise they're going to have great anti-Semitism. So one of the elders, the Kovnerov, was very ill at that time. So the Kovnerov waits for him to get better. The Kovnerov sends for him and says, don't worry. I don't know what I'm going to get better. You have to go. Kovnerov goes with a diplomatic passport, travels through Germany, but he must travel to a neutral country in order to get to America. Now that was when the Cold War was going on. France hadn't been attacked yet. Where does he go? He goes to Switzerland. No sooner does he arrive in Switzerland, then the whole thing goes open again. There the whole war now is out, and they're marching to Lithuania, the Germans take Lithuania. But he's safe. He doesn't know yet that he's safe. But his mission is gone. But he's safe. And when the war is over, he realizes what has happened. He told me. I asked myself the question, why have I been saved? There were more righteous people than I was, and they were not saved. There were greater scholars than I was, and I was not, and they were not saved. What did I have that I had to be saved? He said, my power was in building a yeshiva. That is my now. So that is what I have got to do. The question is, where am I going to bring this? Inside of it is that. Did he have predetermination of will there? He was forced into these situations. So that's what he says, that not in everything is a predetermination of will. Sometimes we are forced into certain situations. And if he's forced into a situation he can be, then he's under these influences. That anything that comes from his predetermination of will, then his influence is from below above, as we have explained. And that is as far as we're going to take it today, and that at least fits your argument. I want to finish the first part. Now, I want to explain something to you that I've explained at another shiur. We have come a long way in the Dera Hashem now. We know that the purpose of man is Shlomo. Obviously, to show that it must come out like that. In other words, it is deterministic. That force is completely compelling, and it must be done. As the same way as you know, when you plant an orange seed, it must be an orange tree that comes out of it. So it is with this. Now, there's going to be a very big question that's going to be asked soon, so I've prepared you for it already. Ochein ha-metzius ha-matzo va-seide v'chol she'ora ha-bchonos v'chelchus hem kipi ma'chi shaykh kohem lepi ha-mitus idyonik. He says, whatever happens, he's just taking it from every possible angle. Whatever happens is inherent in that force, in its very source. V'abetzius v'amatzo v'aseide v'chol she'ora bikrim v'ashepolim v'shtal she'er v'netak v'ashe shayich v'hem v'fi amitas v'yonim. And everything that happens down here below, on earth below, has got its source in the heavens above. Whatever it is, if it is a metal, if it is a vegetable, whatever it is, has its force in above. And it's compelling. These things must come. Now comes the big question. So where is predetermination of will? That means it applies to a person also. There are these forces, and he is contained by these forces. Says no. If he lay the pishow is there, kechilas kol avoyes lemalo bekelches v'yarim v'sefum lemato. He says that according to this principle, everything has got its beginning in a source above, and then it comes down by this change effect to what is here to be found on the earth below. Omnom, however, there is one particular case that is an exception to this principle, to this rule. The humashibaya itchiras order. And that is what appertains to man's predetermination of will. The Heaven shall also order his Borak Shabashi here, and Yechel is the order of Limchabamashi, Yilzim and Atevu Minora, because since Hashem, it was the divine will that man should have the power to choose to do whatever he wants to do, whether it is good or evil, Inei Osohu Vilti Tolu Yvuzev Zulose. Hashem created man in a way that is not dependent on anything, on anybody, on any force outside of himself in this. So man is the great exception. An animal is good. You can't get a tiger. You can't get a tiger that is a lap dog. Just doesn't go. That's not, he can't be different. That is the force under which he works, not so with man. Hashem made him completely independent of anything else. The other rabbi, on the contrary, man has the power in the reverse. He can influence that which is above. We'll soon see how it works. So it's exactly the opposite of what we have learned. To the degree in which he was wishing to do so. So man by his actions is exactly the reverse. He can influence the forces above. And we'll soon see a very interesting result that comes from it all. Now, if you turn to the top of the next page, he says, arising out of this, the Ninsu, arising out of this, the Ninsu bo olosh teis luos klolios hoftias. There are two completely different and contrasting influences. One is from above below, and that is what we have been discovering, what we have been discussing. There was one of the ladies, and I'm not sure who it is, after an inkling who it was, I'm not going to mention the name in case I'm wrong. One of the ladies asked a very pertinent question and said, but if we are here able to influence the source of things, then it should work, then it builds back again. Then that influence hits back again at us and influences us, and so it goes on, which is perfectly correct. Now let us see the way he puts it. The Ninsu Ba'ulam state to new as glorious of Kios. And so there's found in the universe two contrasting influences. Or Achas Tivis Mukrachas Vashenis Bechiris. The one influence is a compelling natural influence. It's deterministic. And the second one is the serious. It's not compelling. It's free. Left to the choice of man. Indeterministic. Or achos milamalo lamato. One from above downwards. Vashnio milamato lamalo. And the second from below upwards. So man influences, reverse, he influences the source. Hamuchrachas hi atnua shemif noah ima shepolim. That which the lower beings, this materialistic world, receives from above, that is compelling, it's deterministic. That is from above below. Avechirius, but the free force, he, Marshal, Odo Menia Bibahiro, so it is what man influences through his predetermination of will, Vine Marshal Humenia, E. Epsha Shehi Ye Elo Geshevina Gashin, and what he is able to influence has to be. That which is materialistic, because the man is material and what he does is material. Now, normally man would only be able to influence the materialistic world. But because of the bond that there exists through Hishtalshelus between the spiritual and the materialistic, when he influences the materialistic, it goes right back to his source until it influences the very source itself.
And this is the remark that I understood one of the ladies to have made at the last shiur, which showed me how well this woman understood it. Coming back to our example of Lear, of Shakespeare. Shakespeare wrote King Lear. But something else happened in the life of Shakespeare. He observed things happening with people. And so, what he saw in this materialistic world round about him influenced him. It influenced his thoughts. But his thoughts aren't materialistic. And they influenced his thoughts to such an extent that he was able in his mind to create a play like Lear, and then afterwards he puts it down in writing, and actors take it and act. So you see how it worked. It worked from below upwards, and from upwards down below. And that is what he's saying now. He says, really, man should be able to influence only the materialistic. But since there's such a close bond now between the materialistic and the spiritual, because the materialistic is the effect of the spiritual, can't be otherwise, then it works both ways. Man affects the material and it affects in turn the spiritual, and that in turn comes down and affects man again. And so this influence that is from down below upwards is the opposite of that influence which is the natural one, the compelling one, which is from above downwards. Now, I'm going to give you the chance to ask a few questions, and perhaps in the discussion it will become clearer. Seema, what is it you would like to ask? Well, I think you are right in this, that when a child is born, he is not in a state that he's got freedom of choice, and he can't affect anything. It's only as he grows, then it becomes something. And it's possible that he doesn't begin to have an effect until he's 13 or 12. Then the effect takes place. But a child as such can't have. He hasn't got predetermination of it. That can't be. Yes.
My observation from very young, so not babies, not very young, but very young children have a lot of freedom. They definitely make choices. They either follow what parents say or they do not, though they know the consequences.
I think it's the parents that have the freedom, not the children.
I don't know. When I observe a child, some children decide to, right or wrong.
Yes, so if the parent doesn't train the child at all, then it just does anything, does whatever it wants. Don't forget that the test of free will is not to do what you want to do. The test of free will is not to do what you want to do. That is the test.
I understand, but
if a child is able not to do what he wants to do, then he's exercising free will.
What I'm saying, I have seen well brought up, so that's exactly, I'm not talking about not well brought up children, I don't know what goes on with my family, but a well brought up child, very young, frequently makes the decision to do the thing that to exercise the option not to do what he really would like to do. In other words, say there's this piece of cake and no one is supposed to have it, and they sort of look and they decide not to have it.
But you don't want him to have the cake because you don't want him to get a tummy ache. He doesn't eat the cake not because he doesn't want to have a tummy ache. He doesn't eat the cake because you told him not to eat the cake and he's obedient. That's not predetermination of will. You follow?
That's a
compelling force. You are the compelling force. He hasn't got predetermination of will. When he decides not to eat the cake, then the cake is there. And it's there for the taking, for the asking. And he decides, no. determination of will is where I make a decision, not because of a compelling force, but I'm absolutely free. We're going to find out, and I spoke about it at the Tanakhshya last week, that there are all degrees of free determination of will. It's not the same with every person. For example, with every person it's different. I don't have to exercise any predetermination of will not to put on the television to see a football match. I don't have to exercise any predetermination of will. So my predetermination of will doesn't come into that area at all. That is different for every person. But a child, if a child is well brought up, and he doesn't put his hand out and take the cake from the table and waits till his mother comes and says, which piece of cake would you like? And he says, that piece. She takes it, puts it in a plate and takes it and he goes away. He's well trained. But he doesn't work out why he's got to do it. His mother's trained him well and he knows that that's the way he must behave and that's all that he's doing. But predetermination of will is different from that. And the test is always the ability not to do what that person wants to do. Yes, Elizabeth.
And, Rob, as you were speaking, I couldn't help but wonder about a young child who has the option of playing, but sees another child or a parent or someone who is in pain or saddened and torn, clearly and observably torn between going back to his task and coming and giving the mother or someone a hug.
Yeah.
And besides, it just seems to me that there's a contradiction in a very young child to decide. I mean, I saw this in my own child during my father's illness. And he didn't really know his grandfather that well, but somehow
and won't move away. He's protecting the child. He's a predetermination of will. He hasn't got, you see. He hasn't got that. But fear is something higher than that. It's something higher than that. And that is the material that he's speaking about. But now he's going to go a little bit more deeply into it. And I just... Hannah, yes?
My question is, then does every action influence whether it is the force, or if it is just actions of just the determination for the parents or the concerns that they are
doing? It seems every action. Not only every action, but every word and every thought has some effect. But it depends on the person, on the intensity, the degree of the intensity, the depth of it, as to what that effect is. That's what it has. And it works the other way too. It works for evil. That if a man has got an evil thought, it can do immeasurable harm. To do immeasurable harm to the whole world. You know, it's 50 years since the war began, Second World War. And quite a lot is being written now. Some of it is not so good, but there's some very good stuff that is being written. And I'm reading it. So far, I haven't come across anything new. Just one thing. One of the mistakes that Hitler made, which I wasn't aware of. But I haven't come across anything. I lived through all that. And I was very, very interested in everything that was happening. Now, what Hitler did, it wasn't confined only to Germany. Look what he did. It's still using the war right over Europe. Now, I was in England. at the beginning of the war. There was anti-Semitism in England as a result of what was taking place in Europe. Just look at the influence. And we used to think that there's a war on, a war against the Germans. Why should there be anti-Semitism? But there was, and in America there was anti-Semitism. And that anti-Semitism at that particular time. And they wouldn't let Jews into the country. Now they let in anybody, as long as it isn't white, as long as it isn't normal. Doesn't matter, come in. And we have never heard such a contrast. And there they had such an opportunity. They let in the Haitians with the AIDS, they let in the Cubans who be let out of the asylum, they let them all in. And Jews, they wouldn't have had such an opportunity. Just look at the level of morality. Those Jews, their intellectual level, their education, wouldn't let them in. Now, look what an influence that has. Just look at the influence. The evil was so deep, it was so calculated, it was so well worked out, that it affects everyone. But good has also got that effect. Must have that effect. You know, in Lithuania, which I got to know intimately, there were what were used to be called Adelstedt, that is refined cities, refined towns. The people there, the people were. Now there was a big difference between a Jew and a Goy. A Goy was coarse. There were refined towns. Which were the refined towns? Do you always think you were refined towns? Kovno was a refined town. Slobodka, Tel, Ponovich, Tel. All places where there was a lot of feminine revolution, Vilkomir, all those places. We used to find out that the goyim in these towns were better than the goyim elsewhere. It all had an effect. I had a meeting, I mentioned it to you, a few months ago, with the church people across the road from us. The Good Shepherd is what it was called, the Good Shepherd. Now, immediately I was in there, they started speaking to me about the way our people, they see it on Shabbos morning. They see them going out of shul, the way they go dressed, the way they walk all together. It has an effect on them. It has a wonderful effect on them. And they see it. So, unbeknown to us, all these things have an effect. But it is. And deed, speech, and thought has its effect. I'll try and explain it to you a little bit in a few minutes' time. Now, I want to do the next paragraph. V'ulom tori sheteda ki gamu odom atma ein kol maasol v'chiri avu yesh ve'en fiyu mitzad v'chirotu ויש אחרים שיסו ואבלוהם מצד גזירו אל יבנו לזכור אלו עוד. Now here comes a very important principle. And that is, man has got predetermination of yet. But not in everything. There are things that he hasn't got a predetermination of yet. Hashem might want to reward a person for something that he did. And he will lead them into a position that something will come about which is to his benefit, to his advantage, and is his reward. And if a punished first person must be punished, he will lead into such a position that he will be punished. and he will suffer as a result of it. So not everything is just... So that is what he says. Man himself, not everything that he does is as a result of free will. There's some of the things that he does is because of free will. There are others which come about to him as a result of a divine decree for him to be rewarded or punished. He says, this we shall still explain. He explains it in a later part. He says, and it can be that he is put into such a position that he is under a direct influence from above, but it's necessary that Hashem uses that influence in order to put him into a certain position. Take the case of Shimshon, with which we are dealing on the Shabbos morning share. He gets involved with this woman. He can't help it. He hasn't got the hero. He hasn't got free determination of will there. And the Torah and the Tanakh says that his parents, who were so distressed about it, didn't know that this was from Hashem. So there he is under these influences. He hasn't got, for that particular matter, he hasn't got free determination of will. So it can happen that a person hasn't got free determination of will. It can also happen that he's only got a degree of free determination of will. I have spoken on various occasions about what happened after the war, when there was all this destruction. We found that there were great men who were left alive, very few, but there were those who were left alive. And when one made a careful study of it, one found that each one who was left alive was left alive for a particular purpose. In America, we had men. The Baron Kutler, the Motor Cuts, the Lyon Graf, the Nation Price. Each one excelled in one particular area. Now they were saved out of Europe. If you spoke to any of these people, and I had the opportunity to speak to several of them, they would tell you how they were saved. It wasn't their own ingenuity. They were put into circumstances that they had to do certain things and they were saved. The point of Israel. The war goes, starts, and Germany moves into Poland on the one side, on the east, on the west, and Russia moves into Poland on the east, and they take the whole of Poland. Jews don't want to be where the Germans are, they know what that means. They don't want to be where the Russians are because they know what that means. The Germans are going to kill them bodily. The Russians are going to kill them spiritually. So what did they do? They ran away and they ran into Lithuania. For some reason, Lithuania accepted them. Lithuania is a small country. 2 million Jews. So the government called the Ponevizhenov and the Komnenov and said, we want you to go to America and negotiate that America takes so many thousands of Jews and tens of thousands of Jews of every Jew to relieve the pressure there, otherwise they're going to have great anti-Semitism. So, the Komnenov was very ill at that time. So the Ponevizhenov waits for him to get better. The Komnenov sends for him and says, don't wait. I don't know what I'm saying to get better. You have to go. going to be the road, then, if it is a magic also, travels through Germany, but he must travel to a neutral country in order to get to America. Now, that was when the Cold War was going on. France hadn't been attacked yet. Where does he go? He goes to Switzerland. No sooner does he arrive in Switzerland, when the whole thing goes open again, there the whole war now is out, and they march into Lithuania, they take him here and take Lithuania. But he's safe. He doesn't know yet that he's safe. But his mission is gone. But he's safe. And when the war is over, he realizes what has happened. He tells me, I asked myself the question, why have I been saved? There were more righteous people than I was, and they were not saved. There were greater scholars than I was, and I was not, and they were not saved. What did I have that I had to be saved? He said, my talent is giving a mission. That is my power. So that is what I've got to do. The question is, how am I going to do this? He decided he needs that. Did he have predetermination of will then? He was forced into these situations. So that's what he says, that not in everything is a predetermination of will. Sometimes we are forced into certain situations. And if he's forced into a situation he can be, then he's under these influences. But anything that comes from his predetermination of will, then his influence is from below above, as we have explained. And that is as far as we're going to take it today, and that at least puts your answer. I want to finish the first part. Now, I want to explain something to you that I've explained at another year. We have come a long way in the Deir HaShem. We know that the first discipline is slavery.